I'm glad that you've chosen to listen to our messages from the Presbyterian Church of Barnet. I'm Howard Gaston, the pastor, and I believe that God's Spirit will speak to you during this time.
We do praise you, O God, for your blessing and for your guidance through your Holy Spirit that makes us your people, set apart in this world not only to worship you but to serve you. And so we pray that these gifts here today in our lives will continue to do that, continue to proclaim Christ through our actions and our words each day. Amen. You may be seated. I've changed the scripture lesson. It's the same message, but from a different gospel, from the book of Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, I'll be reading from. And I just thought it made sense that it connected to what I was saying and also to the children's sermon. It's because it's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke 10, verses 27 through 37. Listen now to God's word. The teacher of the law came up and tried to trap Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to receive eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "What do the scriptures say, and how do you interpret them?" The man answered, "Love your Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself." "You are right," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But the teacher of the law wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered, "There was once a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When robbers attacked him and stripped him and beat him up, leaving him half dead, it so happened that a priest was going down the road, but when he saw the man, he walked by the other side. The same way a Levite also came there and went over and looked at the man and then walked on the other side. But a Samaritan who was traveling that way came upon the man, and when he saw him, his heart was filled with pity. He went over to him and poured oil and wine on his wounds and bandaged them. And then he put the man on his own animal and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Take care of him,' he told them. 'And when I come back this way, I will pay you whatever else you spent on him.' When Jesus concluded, 'In your opinion, which one of these 3 acted like a neighbor towards the man attacked by the robbers?' The teacher of the law answered, 'The one who was kind to him.' And Jesus replied, 'Then go and do the same.'" Amen. Well, I'll share a little bit about a little story about me from Bible college days. Some of you are aware of it. I went to Lancaster Bible College in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and had a very good experience there. Learned the Bible very well and all sorts of things. But there was one event that was transformational for me, and probably the reason why I stand before you today in our Presbyterian church. And that event basically built up, like any event builds up to this point. And what was happening was, we used to go to the church of one of my professors, Dr. Gibson. We liked him. He was, you know, really a good professor. He was one of the few PhDs that we had at college at that time, and he really connected, and he taught well. And so we would go to his church pretty much every Sunday, and it was a thriving, growing church. And I noticed at least, a difference from his teaching and his preaching. Every single Sunday that he preached at this church, it was an evangelistic sermon. Always this call to come and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And after about 3 or 4 months of hearing that, I kind of looked over the congregation, much like our congregation, and thought, you know, these were the same people that were here last week, and the week before, and the week before. And I thought, every week they're hearing basically the same sermon, an evangelistic sermon. Now, there is nothing wrong with preaching evangelism. We've talked about that several weeks ago, that that's one of our great ends of the church, is evangelism, and we need to share our faith. But it occurred to me, and I asked Dr. Gibson one time, I said, isn't there more to the gospel than just getting saved? You know, what about discipleship? What about growing in our faith? Because I said, most of the people you have in your congregation are already Christian. And yet you're continually asking them to join. And, of course, he corrected me and told me how I was wrong and all those kind of things. But it occurred to me at that point that, for me, yes, evangelism was important, and I really believed that, but there's something more to the Christian faith, that we are called to be disciples of Christ. We're called to live out our faith in the actions that we have around our community and the world, and that, quite honestly, I realized I had that in the Presbyterian church that I grew up. And so I realized at that point that I needed to go back to the Presbyterian church, because for me, not only was there evangelism there, but also there was, as we'll talk about today, social righteousness. There was a sense that we need to be involved in the world and grow as believers and followers of Christ more than just making sure that our salvation is secure. And so today, as we look at this, we're going to be talking about social righteousness. And again, that's a 1910 word for what we probably were more familiar with social justice. And when you hear that, some of you are probably like, because it's a divisive theme. But in reality, when you look at our six great ends of the church as Presbyterian churches, they all intermesh together. We have evangelism. We come together in shelter. We present the truth, and that truth that we have together leads us to share it with one another in action, to see the world and see the lies that are out in the world, and to step in and say, look, this is the truth, to change things, to live in the kingdom. So they all kind of work together. They're not like, this week we're doing evangelism, so we'll go out and do evangelism. Next week, we do social justice. It's really not like that, but they're all intermeshed together. But we need to kind of focus on them every once in a while, and we'll focus on this social justice part. Now, just a kind of a practical thing. I had to move. Not only did I get rid of the cardboard posters back there, but I had to move them because of our organ that anybody wants, they can take it today. It's right back there. But over here in the corner is not social justice, and over here is social righteousness, excuse me. And again, for folks who haven't been here, if you take one of these cards, it represents something that we do in our church, and pass it around and consider whether or not this reflects social righteousness or justice, that what we do. So, for example, back here, I have the food shelf under social righteousness. It's one way in which we give to somebody else our food and our extra. And on the other side, what is that, Claudia? I don't remember what I put back there. What is it? Okay, audiovisual. Obviously, that's not really social righteousness, all right? But it is an idea that if you look at the card, reflect and think to yourself, is this social righteousness or is it not? And again, as I've said every week, if it's not social righteousness, it doesn't mean it's bad. It doesn't mean we need to get rid of it. It just doesn't fit that category that we're talking about today. The banner that is represented by social righteous has, again, our dove representing God and the Holy Spirit, and then this waterfall. And it comes from Jeremiah saying, let justice flow like the river or like the waterfall. Let it flow down. Let it flow out of us. And so it's a good reminder of how justice comes out of our life as a church and as it comes out in our everyday actions. So when you think about social justice or righteousness, it can be divisive, because sometimes when we think about it, it becomes those political action events that we hear about that maybe you don't agree with on one side or another. And that's sad, because social righteousness or justice is not a Democrat or Republican thing. It's not a conservative or liberal thing. It's a Christian thing. It's a thing that we're called to be concerned about. And I use today's scripture because I think it sums up or focuses on what really social justice is about. When the teacher came up, who was somebody who was very religious, very faithful to Judaism of that day, and asked Jesus what he must do to get into heaven, and Jesus asked him about the law, he gives him that summation of the law that we hear over and over again. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so for me, this social righteousness really is summed up in loving your neighbor as yourself. And we can take that with us and go out and live that, and we will be doing social justice. Because for me, what that part's talking about is that social justice is something that we do for somebody that's not connected in our circles. Not really somebody connected to our family or connected to this church, but it is a way in which we reach out and help those who are outside of that circle of influence or concern that we have. And sometimes that's hard for us because we're so involved in our everyday lives, so involved in our family lives, so involved in our little circle that we forget that there are people outside of that. We forget that those who are halfway around the world need our concern. Those who live down the street that we may not know need our support and help. So this idea of loving our neighbor, as Jesus said, is the person who shows mercy to a stranger. And I want us to step back, not only to reflect on the card you have, but step back and think to yourself, in what way have you concretely showed mercy to somebody that you were not related to, somebody who is not connected to your circle of friends, but a stranger? And if we have a hard time thinking about that, then we have encased ourselves in our Christianity and not breaking through there to reach out. And we're not living that social gospel, social justice that Christ calls us to be. Because it's not just about taking care of myself and making sure that I am secure and safe in my faith and in the things that I have. But as believers in Christ, we're called to take another step, to be willing to risk ourselves to help another person. And that's one of the tough parts about social righteousness, that it always requires a risk on our part. If it's something that's easy, something that we can do every day, something that doesn't cost us anything, what really value is that? But we're called to step out of ourselves and our comfort zone to help somebody else. And one of the problems I often have when I hear ministers preach about social justice is they want to focus on one event or one thing. And there is a host of things that we could be about. And that may not be the thing you need to look at. And then yet, it may be something you need to be convicted about. But so many times it becomes so focused on one issue, one item. You know, it's kind of like the political ads. You know, they focus on one part of the candidate who's in what they agree or disagree with, and immediately you discount them because they have this one thing you don't like about them. But social righteousness calls us, in the way that you think and what you care for, to reach out for a person. It may be you may be concerned about Syrian refugees. It may be you're concerned about what's going on in South Dakota. It may be the concerns that you have about those who are hungry in our community. It may be a whole host of things that we see and experience. But ultimately, it's calling us to love our neighbor as ourself. To me, there's this amazing story, and you've probably heard it before, but I think it's worth repeating. St. Francis of Assisi was a great great saint who started one of the orders, Catholic orders, can't remember, but any monks. But anyways, he started it, and one of the great things about St. Francis was that when he started, he was extremely rich. He was part of a very rich family, and he lived it up, partied all the time, until he became convicted about God in his life. So much so that he went to the public square, brought his father, and denounced any relationship that he had to his father. So much so that he literally took all of his clothes off that represented what his father had given him and gave it to his father and say, "I want nothing from you. I just want to wholeheartedly follow God." And part of that experience also happened in this story that one day when he was riding his horse, there was a leper, a person who was, you know, deteriorating from this disease. And normally what St. Francis would do is he would take money out, give it to somebody else, and that person then was commissioned to give it to the leper because he didn't want to touch the leper. And that was his way of helping. But one day, he was so convicted by that when he saw the leper, he got off his horse, went to the leper, and kissed him on his hand, and gave him money and helped him. And then the leper turned and kissed him back. And St. Francis, from that point on, was never the same. He started a community for lepers. He helped them out and all that kind of stuff. And it was this amazing event for him that changed him as he followed God. And it was that idea for him that he reached out and touched somebody that needed his love. He loved somebody as himself. And so when we look at our lives and look at who we have touched, is it outside our circle? Have we reached out as a church, as a congregation, outside this walls for those who need it? Have we as individuals reached out beyond our circle of friends and family and loved others as they loved us? There's a professor from Golden College, I forget his name now, but he made this statement. He said, "Justice, not just us." And I think that's a good summary of justice. It's not just us. It's justice. Yes, Rosina?
The Franciscans.
Thank you. That's it. The Franciscans, yes. I knew. I couldn't remember if it was Jesuits or Franciscans, so thank you. So, let us pray. God, we come before you, and we certainly are reminded that there are many, many problems and conflicts. We've been reminded about it every time we watch TV in our world and our community. And we are called as believers to step out and to care and to love the less fortunate, the oppressed, the hurting, the refugee. And we pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes and our hearts to see the needs that's out there, to reach out and touch the hurting, to love those outside our circles as we love ourselves, to bring about your kingdom and your peace upon this earth in so many ways. Remind us that justice is not just us, but it's about the world around us. We thank you and we pray and give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Would you pause as we pray for our communion time? God, we come before you and ask that you will be with us in this time as we celebrate your communion. As we're reminded in the Bible, you loved the world so much that you gave your Son. Your Son who died on the cross, whose body was broken, whose blood was shed, that we celebrate and worship here today. May this bread and these cups remind us of the body and blood of Christ and the call that we have been given to be your people in this world. We give you thanks for Christ's name, our Lord. Amen.
I hope these messages have been a blessing to you for your life. And if you need any more assistance, be sure to contact the Presbyterian Church of Barnet in Vermont. Thank you.